It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
The sounds from the Capitol 4th celebration on the lawn of the Capitol just last night. If you haven't seen it ever, you have to make a note every year to tune into this as thousands of people fill the Capitol listening to music and worship, you know, just celebrating this wonderful country. And I want you to hear, because they closed the program last night with the 1812 Overture, as they always do, and the fireworks. And I just wanted to give you a little touch of it. This doesn't sound like the 1812 Overture, but maybe it will go into that. Anyway, let's listen. Just totally exploded over the nation's capital, over the Washington Monument. It was an absolutely beautiful, beautiful sight. And I think the best part about it was Americans were really celebrating their country in the most beautiful way. Let's listen. John Philip Sousa actually got his start here in Washington. He was assigned to the Marine Barracks here, and it's from that position that he wrote so many of these fabulous marches that we celebrate now that are played all over the country. If you have never been to the Washington, D.C., on the 4th of July, really put it on your bucket list, because that has to be one of the most glorious celebrations. It's put on by PBS. It used to be hosted by Gary Sinise, but last night it was someone else whose name I can't remember. I'm sure if you watch a lot of television, he looks familiar, but I don't know his name because I don't watch that much television. But Smokey Robinson sang. Smokey Robinson, you know, used to be Smokey Robinson and the Miracles. He looked great. He must be in his 80s. He's got to be. But he sang and he talked about what a wonderful country we live in. Gloria Estefan there's a musical commemorating her life and her husband's coming to this country as immigrants, and their success and how they love the country. And there was a Miami sound machine from the stage production in New York. It was just wonderful, and people were dancing and just celebrating. I really do think it was the best Capitol 4 celebration I've ever seen. And generally speaking, I like to be there. I love to be there. It was raining last night. Nevertheless, the place was just packed. And you see so many faces, you know, kids waving flags. And I have to say that the people here in D.C., there are a lot of people here in D.C. who hate this land, but there are a ton of them who are putting their lives on the line. They are on the front lines of service. And many of them were there last night, and they understand the sacrifices and the beauty of a free country. They also celebrated the Park Service last night and did a beautiful, beautiful filmography view as the music was playing of the beauty of America and the different parks, the majesty of a huge bear catching a fish in Alaska, and of course all the the presidents carved in stone, and it was just absolutely beautiful. I thought to myself, you know, how dare the left think, the Islamists think, that they can take over this great country, and how dare we let them? How dare we let them? As I was watching last night, I thought, double down, ladies and gentlemen, wherever you are, fight. Let's fight. Let's fight. I was watching yesterday, you know, Turner Classic Movies had just movie after movie, old patriotic movies. Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. They had one called The Scarlet Coat or Jacket. The character was John Bolton, and ironically, Ambassador Bolton will be our guest tomorrow, so I have to ask him about that, if he's a relative of this John Bolton. But it was about the heroism, the fight, the difficulty of establishing this nation. It was never easy. It wasn't easy for them either. And it's not going to be easy for us to keep it, but look, let's give it a go, right? Let's try what we can. I was also listening yesterday as we were driving. And yes, I have been gone, and it's great to be back. We were doing private stuff, personal stuff. It wasn't really a vacation, although the last few days we drove up into the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. Anybody ever been there? On Lake Superior? Just pristine, absolutely beautiful. It's the America I remember. As we drove through town after town, little towns, we stopped at one fourth, it wasn't the 4th of July yet, but it was a celebration in the band shell. And the band shell had a big flag painted in it. This is a small town right on Lake Superior. And there's it's an outdoor theater, you know, small, but it's their outdoor theater. The community band was on the stage, and they had like matching blue t-shirts, and they were playing these John Philip Sousa marches, you know, not very well. It was kind of like the Music Man. You had to use your imagination. But they were so enthused, and there was a bulldog lying in the aisle, the long center aisle leading down to the band shell, and it was America. It was Americana. And I found myself just, it was good to get away from here, meaning D.C., and to really commune with the people of this country who are still working so hard, you know, working in restaurants, in hotels, applied, concentrating, just doing what Americans, taking responsibility for their lives, working hard, providing for their families, and honoring God and country. That's the America that many of us remember. So there's no reason why we can't fight to preserve that, is there? I can't think of any. And much of our conversation today is going to be about preserving, about some things that are happening today. Frank Gaffney will be joining us, and we'll be alerting you to something we need to focus on in terms of the fight. And, of course, there's a presidential election going on. You did know that, right? I tried to forget, but I can't. Hillary Clinton, a lot of things happened last week while I was not in the flesh with you. And by the way, I want to thank Fred Jackson for being here to fill in for me a couple of days. And I hope you enjoyed the pre-tapes that we prepared for you. Philip Haney, how well timed. That was the day of the Ted Cruz hearing in the House, in the Senate last Tuesday. And that's the day we had Phil Haney. And so I hope that you found that very helpful. If you didn't hear it, you know, go back on Facebook and listen to it. But Mrs. Clinton, you know, Bill Clinton meets with Loretta Lynch at Sky Harbor Airport in Arizona. Just absolutely appalling, unethical, blatant, you know, like who cares? He's, a co-defendant in this alleged investigation of the Clinton Foundation. He's a potential witness against his own wife or for her. And he meets with the top, you know, a law enforcement agent that in the country, Loretta Lynch. It's just an abuse of power, a lawlessness for all of us to see. Absolutely amazing. And we hear today now, the New York Times is reporting that Hillary Clinton is saying, you know, she just might, after all, decide to keep Loretta Lynch as the attorney general. You know, she just might keep her. Of course, her husband just met with Loretta Lynch, and now it looks like, well, I know it's a shock, but Loretta Lynch, the attorney general, and the people under her, who's now, she says, whatever they recommend, she'll do. And of course, you know, they're going to be lobbying to bring charges against against Hillary Clinton, right? Because I wonder who hired those people under Loretta Lynch. That was, Eric Holder and Loretta Lynch, and they're all on the same team. Trust me. So it's a little corrupt out there, just a little bit, would you say? Well, Hillary Clinton has a new ad that she's running, and I thought you might want to hear it. Here it is.
He says we should punish women who have abortions.
There has to be some form of punishment.
That Mexicans who come to America are rapists.
They're rapists.
And that we should ban Muslims from coming here at all.
Total and complete shutdown.
Donald Trump says we can solve America's problems by turning against each other. It's wrong. And it goes against everything New York and America stand for.
With so much at stake, she's the one tough enough to stop Trump. Hillary Clinton.
I'm Hillary Clinton, and I approve this message.
All right, so there you go. That's Mrs. Clinton's ad, effectively knocking Donald Trump. But I want you to hear another one. This is by Oz. Remember Oz? His name is Mark Geist, and he was one of the gentlemen on the roof in Benghazi who went to rescue and had told his horrendous story of survival and of the death of his friends in that special with Sean Hannity, and it was pretty amazing. And so this is Oz. You can't see all the visual, but you can hear what he has to say. This is a campaign ad that he's running. Let's listen.
A lot of people say they're not going to vote this November because their candidate didn't win. Well, I know some other people who won't be voting this year either. Hillary is president? No thanks. I served in Benghazi. My friends didn't make it. They did their part. Do yours.
The NRA Political Victory Fund is responsible for the content of this advertising.
All right, so if you might want to look at those ads. The one with Oz is just so powerful. That's pretty amazing. And I do think, when we assess what's going on here, I think Americans are understanding, really true Americans that are paying attention, and I think more and more are, the real threats that we face, this hostage crisis in Bangladesh is just amazing. 10 hours where they demanded that people in that restaurant, which was mostly they thought were Westerners, some are from Japan. They didn't know the difference, but they were infidels, and they were forced to either recite the Quran or they were tortured. Now, there's a story of heroism coming out of there. Was a kid, what is his name? I wanted to read it to you because it was such a great story. He was a young man who was a student at Emory University, and he was offered a chance to leave, and he refused because two other girls from Emory University were there, and he would not desert them, and the three of them were killed. Those kinds of stories of heroism always move me. And so that brutality took place in Bangladesh. There were, attacks in Saudi Arabia, three different suicide attacks. To celebrate the holy month of Ramadan, the holy, holy. Somehow I don't think holy means the same thing in Islam as it does. Holy means righteous and good, just. That's what holy means, set apart, different, filled with the power of the Almighty God who's loving and merciful, and does not slaughter people if they don't believe in him. He gives them the free choice to believe. And so that's what took place in Bangladesh. And then in Iowa, another story of heroism. There was a young man in Caldwell, Iowa, who stood up on the bar shouting that Allahu Akbar, basically. He had a backpack on. The bartender reaches up, dismantles, takes the backpack off of this kid, runs to an alley, and disposes of it at his own great risk. Of course, the backpack didn't have explosives in it, but they didn't know that. And so two heroes. And that's the kind of stuff people are made of. And so that's the kind of stuff I aspire to, and I know that you do too. Well, coming up is a hero to me, Frank Gaffney. If you only knew the things that Frank does to try to preserve this nation. And I try to tell you, but we'll tell you more. When we come back, something happening today that you need to be aware of, and something we could do something about. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
I'm John Riley. I want to let you know about an opportunity that you have to reach out to families in West Virginia who are affected by a major disaster. Flooding has overtaken much of West Virginia, and they need our help. There are families there that are hurting and struggling, but there's a wonderful ministry called Hope Reigns that's actually on the ground right now, wrapping their arms around those homeowners. You can make a difference. You can volunteer and help these homeowners through this wonderful ministry called Hope Reigns. If you want to volunteer, you want to help, please give them a call right now and say, I would love to volunteer there in West Virginia. They need your help. 662-255-7565. That's 662-255-7565. Or you can go online, 8daysofhope.com, 8daysofhope.com. Please pray for them, and if you want to give financially, they could use that as well.
Jan Harper, wife of Pastor Bert Harper.
Sometimes it feels like I'm living in a fishbowl. You know what I mean? When your husband is a church leader, your family is constantly being watched. That's why we offer the AFA Pastor and Wife Fishbowl Retreat. And our guest speaker this year is American Family Radio's J.J. Jasper.
I'm very excited to be a speaker, and I'll be sharing comedy at this year's Fishbowl Retreat. I'm especially excited that my wife, Melanie, will minister to the pastor's wives. When speaking at women's events, she shares, if Satan can discourage you, he can defeat you.
If you could use 3 days and 2 nights of relaxation among people who understand your challenges, then join us for the AFA Pastor and Wife Fishbowl Retreat.
This year's retreat is scheduled for October 4th through 6th at the Linden Valley Conference Center in Tennessee. Get details at repairingthefoundations.net or call 800-326-4543, extension 300.
And we'll see you there.
From New York, I'm Todd Starnes with this Fox News and Commentary next. As the first rays of morning light wash over the eastern seaboard, a flag is unfurled with broad stripes and bright stars. A soldier stands guard over sleeping heroes known only to their maker, a resting place for the common man. A farmer in the heartland gathers his crop as golden wheat shimmers in the breeze. A rancher gallops along the Texas Hill Country, herding his cattle to the stockyards, a job for the common man. In a Tennessee church house, a candle flickers, a preacher prays on bended knee, asking God to bless our land, a prayer for the common man. And in some distant land, the sons and daughters of liberty stand guard, defending our nation, a protector for the common man. We are a noble people, forged by freedom's fire, an uncommon nation established by the common man. I'm Todd Starnes.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
We also heard testimony from a former employee of the Department of Homeland Security, Phil Haney, that in October 2009, more than 800 Customs and Border Patrol documents were ordered modified, scrubbed, or deleted to remove references to jihad or the Muslim Brotherhood or other similar references. Was Mr. Haney's testimony that the Department of Homeland Security ordered over 800 documents in CBB altered or deleted, was that testimony accurate?
I have no idea. I don't know who Mr. Haney is. I wouldn't know him if he walked in the room.
So you have not investigated whether your department ordered documents to be modified in 2009 to remove references to jihad, radical Islamic terrorism, the Muslim Brotherhood? You have not investigated that question?
No, I have not taken the time to investigate what Mr. Haney says, no.
And when the United States Senate Judiciary Oversight Committee conducted a hearing on that, did you or anyone in your staff inquire into those issues?
No, but you have me right here, right now, to ask questions of.
So but apparently your answer is you don't know. I am asking you, in 2009 and again in 2012, Mr. Haney testified there were two purges, and that was the word he used, purge, at the Department of Homeland Security to remove references to radical Islamic terrorism. Is it accurate that the records were changed?
Same answer I gave you before. I have no idea, sir.
You have no knowledge of any records being changed at the Department of Homeland Security?
Same answer. I have no idea, sir.
There you go. That's the chairman of, or the head of the Department of Homeland Security, Jay Johnson. Doesn't that give you a confidence? You know, Phil Haney was our guest just a week ago talking about, in detail, great detail, because he lived this, how they scrubbed those training manuals. And he was testifying before Congress a week ago today about the same thing. And that's what Senator Cruz is referring to. And by the way, that entire exchange with Jay Johnson, we will put on our Facebook page because you need to hear the whole thing. If we have a chance, I'll play more of it later. But it was stunning. Is it true that they scrubbed those terms? I don't know. I don't even know who he is. I have no knowledge. And you know, when you watch the video, if you watch the, this is just a sidebar, but if you watch the girl that is in the screen to Jay Johnson's left, to the right on the screen, the mocking look on her face, the smile, the smugness is just amazing. I thought to myself, there is a young Hillary Clinton in the works, because Hillary Clinton was on the Watergate committee when she was right out of college doing the exact same kind of undermining of national security. But I digress. Frank Gaffney is really an American hero. He's a good friend, and it's hard for me to introduce him sometimes because I have such great respect for Frank. He is the founder of the Center for Security Policy. He probably more than anyone, you hear me introduce national security experts all the time. We talk about this all the time. But the person who really alerted me the very first time to this danger when I was president of CWA came to the office and gave me a briefing, and this was in 2002, is Frank Gaffney. And so, Frank, thanks for joining me this morning. We're still trying to put those fires out, and I'm happy to partner with you to try to do that. Thanks for joining us.
Sandy, thank you, and I appreciate both that wonderful introduction and your friendship and support and solidarity over so many years and all you do on this program, including allowing me to join you for a minute each day. It's really a privilege.
Well, you know, now the hearing last week was a week ago Tuesday, the hearing with, Andy McCarthy was there and Phil Haney. There was a representative from the Southern Poverty Law Center who is, you know, coordinating, I think, the efforts to cover up Sharia law and to sort of cast this wide swath of terrorism to include, you know, returning veterans, Christians, AFA, et cetera, and, of course, the Center for Security Policy as well. I'm just curious, describe that hearing to us, your perspective of what took place on last Tuesday.
Well, Sandy, it's a wonderful setup to a further conversation about that exchange with Jay Johnson, and we'll come to that, I guess, in a minute, but you're right. This hearing, I honestly think, was the most important congressional oversight hearing on the whole question of the nature of the enemy we're confronting, how we're doing in contending with its threat, and you know what we should be doing to succeed in the future. And that's because, for the first time, and I give great credit to the chairman, Senator Ted Cruz, and some of the other committee members, who really drilled down with what I consider to be pretty much the first string of the counter-jihad team. You mentioned Andy McCarthy, the former federal prosecutor, Philip Haney, who you've had on, and who Jay Johnson was just somewhat dismissive of. In addition, you had Dr. Zudi Jasser, a very courageous pro-American, anti-Islamic supremacist Muslim, and Chris Delbats, intrepid and, again, courageous undercover operative who actually penetrated one of the most nefarious of the Muslim Brotherhood front organizations, the Council on American-Islamic Relations, and wrote a book called Muslim Mafia about his findings there. These guys made the case, unmistakably, that our government has been subjected to what Senator Cruz and Andy McCarthy have called willful blindness, a practice of ignoring the nature specifically of the contribution being made to the global jihad movement by those associated with groups like the Muslim Brotherhood and other Islamic supremacists who are seeking to destroy us, as they say, from within by our hands. And that really made this a distinctive hearing and I think set up the conversation with Jay Johnson that was troubling as well.
Very troubling. And so that exchange with Senator Cruz and Jay Johnson is just stunning, Frank, and I plan to play more of it maybe tomorrow, since you and I have a lot to talk about. But I just wanted to. Did you think Jay Johnson in any way acquitted himself, or did you think he made a fool out of himself?
What I think he did was he confirmed the thesis of the earlier hearing. He proved beyond a shadow of a doubt willful blindness. Remember, Sandy, it wasn't just Tuesday that Phil Haney made these charges, that he had been working in that same department of Homeland Security, that he had been conducting investigations, that he had been told to stand down because he was violating the civil rights and civil liberties of what are, in fact, Muslim Brotherhood's front groups and operatives, and that those investigations resulted not only in, as a result of this kind of behavior, the loss of those the data that he had compiled, 800-some files, I believe, were purged. But also, he thinks, as you've heard from him both directly, that had those investigations been allowed to go forward, he would have been able to prevent, perhaps, the attack in San Bernardino, and who knows, maybe even the one in Orlando. Now, the point is that he first started talking about this right after the attack in San Bernardino.
Yep.
In December. So Jay Johnson has ignored for, 7 months now, the evidence of malfeasance inside his department. And I'm afraid you can only conclude that that's willfully done and enabling of that malfeasance.
You know, and one of the things you notice as he's giving answers, Jay Johnson is answering Ted Cruz's penetrating questions, is this constant effort to equate and to water down the whole notion of terrorism, extremism, to this broad category of homegrown, which allows them to identify, you know, right-wing extremists like AFA, like Center for Security Policy, like homecoming veterans coming home, like Tea Party groups. It gives them a wide umbrella under which to use the resources equally. In other words, they are neglecting to fight the real problem and putting the resources to fighting people like us. And let's make that point, Frank, because this is actually something that's stirring the pot today in Congress. It's going to be an issue. So I have mentioned countering violent extremism, but I'm going to turn it to you to explain what it is that the program they have developed called Countering Violent Extremism, which they passed. Well, I'm confused, actually. I think they passed it before 2016. You tell the story.
Yeah, let me just connect a couple of dots here. First of all, let me say, of course, none of the groups that you mentioned are in fact extremists, let alone violent extremists, or even, you know, incipiently violent extremists. What we're dealing with here is a Muslim Brotherhood devised means of deflecting attention from the threat that they pose with their so-called civilization jihad. And by the way, if your audience is interested in learning more about the Muslim Brotherhood and what it's up to, I really commend to them a short monograph the Center for Security Policy has produced called the Explanatory Memorandum. You can download it for free at our website, securefreedom.org. Just look under the books. There's an explanatory memorandum there that was their secret plan. And they talk literally about their mission being, quote, destroying Western civilization from within by what amounts to our hands. So that God's religion or Allah's religion is made victorious over all other religions. Now, here's the thing, Sandy, that when you have the Muslim Brotherhood with that as their agenda, advising our government, and Jay Johnson at least implicitly acknowledged that he's taking advice from these sorts of people, these Islamic supremacists. They say you mustn't say anything that gives us offense. You mustn't do anything that would make it harder for us to help you help us, he put it. The truth of the matter is that when they say it's not jihad of either the violent or the sort of stealthy pre-violent kind, it's violent extremism that everybody needs to focus on. You're absolutely right. They can then deflect attention over to people that they claim are bigger threats, non-Muslims, people on the right, and so on. And unfortunately, the government has institutionalized this in the Obama administration, And what Congress is proposing to do, if the majority leader of the House of Representatives and Michael McCaul, the chairman of the House Homeland Security Committee, have their way today, is to further enshrine this whole idea by creating an assistant secretary level bureaucracy in the Department of Homeland Security to promote, in the name of partnership, more of this kind of Muslim Brotherhood influence operation. It's just insane. And unfortunately, it's going to, I'm afraid, further contribute to getting Americans killed.
Yeah, let's spell it out even more here. The Washington Examiner has an article that just came out on the 1st of July. And in the wake, this is what Kevin McCarthy, the House Majority Leader, has said. In the wake of the Orlando attack, we must step up our efforts to combat radicalization and recruitment of citizens. The bill introduced today will provide more tools and resources to combat the spread and dangerous radical Islamist ideology and help our law enforcement agencies prevent future attacks on our soil. What's wrong with that statement, Frank?
Well, the problem is that attacks on our soil are almost always abetted, if not actually enabled, by the infrastructure the Muslim Brotherhood has been building in this country for over 50 years. I mean, Sandy, this is the key point. Most of us are unaware these guys are even here, let alone that for 50 years they have been building mosques and various other front organizations, influence operations. And, you know, just think about it. Every time you hear about a violent jihadist attacking somebody, whether it's in New York or Chattanooga or Boston or Little Rock or you know, San Bernardino or Orlando, there's always a mosque somewhere in the mix. And without exception, those mosques are, I believe, tied to the North American Islamic Trust and the Saudi funds that caused that mosque to be a hotbed of jihadism. And we're ignoring that. Again, at our peril, we're generally casting our eyes away from the kind of surveillance that ought to be undertaken at those mosques, and better yet, shutting them down if they're engaged in sedition.
Yeah, but Frank, Kevin McCarthy says, hey, we're putting more resources to fight after Orlando. We're going to get at it. Paul Ryan says the same thing. The bill is going to be on the House floor next week. What's today? We're gonna spend money. We're gonna appoint a person to oversee this Islamic terrorism. But what's really happening, Frank? What are they really doing?
I'm afraid what they're doing is they're compounding the problem. Because again, and I want to give them credit. Representatives McCarthy and McCaul have said that the problem here isn't violent extremism. In their new bill, which may move today, they say it's radical Islamist terrorism. Well, that's a step in the right direction. But it's not just terrorism. And to the extent that they create this new assistant secretary and they give him $10 million, him or her, $10 million to go partner with community partners around the country, and they wind up being exclusively, as I think they will, Muslim Brotherhood front organizations, you're actually making things worse. You're giving money, grants, and the like to people who are subverting us. So, Teddy, far from doing something, or at least doing something useful, they are doing something that could be quite injurious.
So, as we understand it, the money that was already in place in this countering violent extremism effort is money that would go to partnering with Muslim groups who are supposed to be helping us in these mosques and helping us in the Muslim community. There'll be people like the Council for American Islamic Relations, all of these unindicted co-conspirators in the Holy Land Trial Foundation connected to Hamas should be declared terrorist groups, but they are our friends. They are in the White House, they are in Congress, and they have the ear of Michael McCaul. We'll talk about that in a second. This is not the way jihad is fought. And we want to talk about the way it needs to be fought when we return. Frank Gaffney is my guest. This is Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Ephesians chapter 5 tells us to make the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. God has given the American Family Association opportunities to increase our reach and influence in 8 radio markets with the potential for 2.5 million new listeners. In addition, American Family Studios has started work on a new documentary project titled The God Who Speaks, Reaffirming Biblical Authority. As we work to fund these projects and others, here's American Family Association President Tim Wildman.
The bottom line is this, folks. It costs a lot of money to operate American Family Association and our ministries like AFA, AFR, American Family Studios, the things that we do to impact the culture for Christ. But if we don't do it, the cost is going to be even higher, namely the loss of religious freedom and the increasing marginalization of Christians.
For more information, visit AFR.net or call 800-326-4543. America cannot wait.
Cross-examined with Frank Turek.
People almost invariably arrive at their beliefs not on the basis of proof, but on the basis of what they find attractive. And a lot of people find it attractive that Christianity might be false. And so they tend not to either investigate it, or they dismiss it, or they vociferously object to it because a creator interferes with what they want to do.
Cross-examined with Frank Turek, Saturday mornings at 9 Central and Sunday afternoons at 4 Central on AFR Talk.
Consider serving the Lord with friendships. It's an opportunity to reach out to the needy around the world. They're now taking applications to volunteer, and they need help in the areas of mechanics, maritime, including deck, engine, and steward departments, food service, warehousing, and office. Check it out at friendships.org or call 337-433-5022.
We are not allowed to have a U-Haul that comes to heaven with us.
Anna Marie Travers has an AFA Foundation charitable gift annuity.
The Lord has given us things that we can acquire, but you know, everything will stay here, and I'm so thankful for the American Family Annuity Fund, where we can give some to something that we so highly value.
Through the AFA Foundation, a charitable gift annuity provides a monthly income as well as a legacy of support for the American Family Association.
I cannot recommend a better person than they have at AFA to help you with getting your annuity fund. It was so easy.
Call the AFA Foundation today to find out how you can set up a charitable gift annuity. Just call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Last week, senators established that the U.S. government has been willfully blind regarding the true threat posed by Sharia supremacism in America. Specifically, it has ignored the jihadist Muslim Brotherhood's success in stealthily penetrating and subverting our constitutional republic. Incredibly, House Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy and House Homeland Security Chairman Mike McCaul seem determined to respond to these revelations by rewarding and institutionalizing such willful blindness, and further implicating their fellow Republicans in it. And they propose to do so without needed hearings or any real deliberation. Their idea is to create a new bureaucracy in the Department of Homeland Security with at least an annual $10 million slush fund for outreach to so-called community partners. Today, those partners will almost certainly be Muslim Brotherhood front groups. That's crazy, and a formula for our defeat, not the needed victory over jihad. This is Frank Affney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Senator, I find this whole debate to be very interesting, but I have to tell you, when I was at the Department of Defense giving the legal sign-off on a lot of drone strikes, I didn't particularly care whether the baseball card said Islamic extremist or violent extremist. I think this is very interesting, but it makes no difference to me in terms of who we need to go after who is determined to attack our homeland. The other point I'd like to make, sir, is that, and I have to think in practical terms in Homeland Security, I think this is all very interesting, makes for good political debate, but in practical terms, if we in our efforts here in the homeland start giving the Islamic State the credence that they want to be referred to as part of Islam or some form of Islam, we will get nowhere in our efforts to build bridges with Muslim communities, which we need to do in this current environment right now that includes homegrown violent extremists. They all tell me that ISIL has hijacked my religion, and it's critical that we bring these people to our side to do this.
You're entitled to give speeches other times. My question was if you were aware that the information has been scrubbed. I would note the title of the hearing on Tuesday was Willful Blindness, and your testimony to this full committee now is that you have no idea and apparently have no intention of finding out DHS materials have been scrubbed. And you suggested just a moment ago that it's essentially a semantic difference. Well, I don't believe it is a semantic difference, that when you erase references to radical jihad, it impacts the behavior of law enforcement and national security to respond to red flags and prevent terrorist attacks before they occur.
Well, there you go. That's a little bit more of that hearing that took place just last week with Senator Ted Cruz and Director of the Department of Homeland Security, Jay Johnson. My guest today is Frank Gaffney. Frank, before we get, what I'd like to do, I want to tell you where I'm headed here. You're one sheeter on the comparison between the countering violent extremism legislation, which is what they want to fund today, and the premise of just completely destroying jihad. Victory over jihad is amazing. But is there something practical people can do today? Because this is coming out today. They're trying to pass this thing today. What can we do?
The most important thing, Sandy, is to understand what's afoot here and to communicate your concern about it to the people who represent you in the United States House of Representatives. What is going on is an affront to what Paul Ryan promised when he became Speaker of the House. The term inside the parliamentary circles is regular order, but it simply means to hold hearings before you create legislation and ask the House of Representatives to approve it. Now, there have been hearings in the past, to be sure, but there have been no hearings by the Homeland Security Committee, or for that matter, any other committee in the House of Representatives that I'm aware of, since 9/11, let alone, this year, that have looked at the sorts of things that Senator Cruz exposed and that the House also ought to be exposing. I mean, this really is the dirty little secret about why 15 years after those terrible attacks of September 11, 2001, we are still losing to the global jihad, that there are more terrorist attacks taking place by the day, and that worse, the kinds of things that will conduce to attacks in the future are going unchecked. So I would ask your audience to do two things. One, take a look at this material, and there's a lot of it at counterjihad.com that will acquaint you with what we're confronting. Take a look at that explanatory memorandum. It is a very quick read. You can download it, as I say, at securefreedom.org. And then do one thing. Call your member of Congress and say, please hold hearings into the willful blindness. And then take steps legislatively to try to correct it. Don't institutionalize it today without hearings by creating this new bureaucracy and giving it a slush fund to pass around to the Muslim Brotherhood. This is the height of insanity. And you just said one quick key phrase. I think that if every one of your audience members were to simply say the following, Congressman, we want victory over jihad. Accept no substitutes. Don't enable the jihadists. Don't pretend that the Muslim Brotherhood isn't part of the jihad movement. We want you to defeat them. We want victory. And that's going to require a very different piece of legislation than the one that they're proposing to bring up shortly in the House of Representatives.
So, bottom line, we want hearings, not legislation, not yet. Stop for a minute. Think about this.
Regular
hold hearings. And you know what?
First, act later.
Frank, I always think of this photo that I know that you've seen. The irony that Michael McCaul, the head, the chairman of the Homeland Security Committee in the House, Michael McCaul from Texas, is one of the ones pushing for this countering violent extremism, which will send tens of millions of dollars into our Muslim so-called friends like CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations. There's a picture of Michael with the head of CARE in Dallas, Fort Worth, and he writes, "To Mustafa and the Council on American Islamic Relations, the moderate Muslim is our most effective weapon." CARE are not moderate Muslims, are they, Frank?
Right. No,
and he doesn't know it.
Certainly not. Well, just a word on this. Sandy, the thing that I've referred to several times here, the explanatory memorandum, came to light as a result of a trial, as you know, down in Dallas in 2008, of the Holy Land Foundation. It exposed for the first time to all of us what had been discovered, this secret plan for destroying Western civilization from within. One of the other things that was introduced into evidence in that trial, though, were transcripts of wiretaps that had been done back in the day when the FBI did this sort of thing, of surveillance, of the organizational meeting of the Council on American Islamic Relations. And lo and behold, the organizers of that meeting were people associated with a group that is identified in the explanatory memorandum as one of their organizations, namely the Brotherhoods, the Islamic Association of Palestine, and representatives of Hamas. At the time, it was not a designated terrorist organization, but the FBI was tracking what was going on because it was worried about them as terrorists. But here's the point, Sandy. What we learned from those wiretaps, again, introduced into evidence in federal court, is that Hamas founded CARE to serve as a fundraising arm and a political warfare vehicle for Hamas in the United States. CARE is Hamas. It is a terrorist enabling and, I believe, actually a terrorist organization. And it should be treated as such instead of being somebody that Michael McCaul is considering not only as a moderate Muslim weapon against the radical or violent extremists, but as part of the enemy axis. And that photograph, Sandy, it's such an important insight. That photograph tells you everything you need to know about what's wrong with Michael McCaul's new legislation. He thinks giving money to the Council on American Islamic Relations is going to help us in the war.
Now, Frank, listen, I know you well enough to know, and your staff and others who are all over this, that he knows better. He has to know better. He's not that stupid. He's from Texas. He knows about the Holy Land Foundation trial. And you know, Frank, it's not an obscure thing that CARE is connected to Hamas. I remember, and I'm sure you do too, that immediately after 9/11, CARE was everywhere and all their operatives in the White House, outside of the White House, on television. And then suddenly we found they disappeared because we found out from that trial, oh, oops, they're linked to the terrorists. And so for a long time, you know, we didn't see them on television. They weren't used as the go-to group. And now they're back. Has Michael McCaul forgotten that? How could he forget that? How could he do this? He's the chairman of the Homeland Security Committee, for heaven's sake. He's from Texas. He knows better, Frank. This is one of the great mysteries to me.
Well, these are all very pertinent questions, Sandy, and I hope that you will call his office and ask him to come on your air and that you'll ask those questions of him. He's not a stupid man, for sure. All I can tell you is what I'm watching, what I'm observing, what I'm unfortunately seeing play out here is not just the enabling of willful blindness by the United States government, the institutionalizing of it, perhaps, but it's the practice of it. This chairman, Michael McCaul, if he does not recognize that the problem is bigger than just radical Islamist terrorism, it includes the stealthy jihad, the civilization jihad. For that matter, it includes things like the hijra, the migration, which we've talked about in the past, which is a form of colonization, a pre-violent, if you will, jihad, or material support to to the jihad, something that is known as zakat. I mean, all of these things are factoring into the danger that we're facing, and they cry out for serious, comprehensive, and extensive oversight investigations by the Homeland Security Committee, not this kind of rubber stamping of a piece of legislation that while it does, yes, talk about radical Islamic or Islamist terrorism, doesn't address the full panoply of the threats we're facing.
So the bottom line is, for those of you listening, you know, you could all call Chairman Mike McCaul's office. It'd be fine with me. Kevin McCarthy's office, Paul Ryan's office. We could just target those three. But target your congressman. Tell him hearings. We need it. Do not fund this until you know what you're doing. Because most of you don't. I'd say a lot of them don't have a clue, Frank. And some of them are willfully blind, as you just said. You have this great fact sheet that I would love to put on our Facebook page that talks about the premises of countering violent extremism. Now, that's the faux fake program that's supposedly going to fight all this, which is the, you know, could have been scripted by the Muslim Brotherhood. And the actual truth.
Scripted by the Muslim Brotherhood.
Was scripted by the Muslim Brotherhood. Yeah, and I'd love to put that on our Facebook page. Are you making that public yet?
Sure. Yeah, we'll have it up at counterjihad.com shortly.
Okay. All right. So, Frank, we only have a couple of minutes. I was going to get into the differences, but we'll put it on Facebook instead. You know, when I was watching Ted Cruz grill Jay Johnson, the thing that struck me is that there was not another senator at that table. That round table where they sit and the witnesses sit at the lower tables in front of them, like a courtroom. Senator Cruz started to grill Jay Johnson, everyone was gone, except for the Democratic chairman, and then he left. I don't know. That means to me, unless you think differently, that the Republicans even on that committee didn't hear any of that.
Well, I think Senator Grassley was the chairman. He's, of course, a Republican. But no, unfortunately, many of them didn't. And this is contributing, I think, to a lack of adequate understanding in the part of the United States Senate. I do want to give Senator Cruz tremendous credit for taking this on. And he did get help in the subcommittee hearing from Jeff Sessions, for example, a great, you know, patriot, Mike Lee as well, and a few others. But by and large, we're at the very beginning of a steep learning curve. It is a travesty that it's taken us 15 years to get here, but at least something's being done in the Senate. I just pray, and I really mean that, literally pray, that with your help and that of your audience, we will stave off what's now in prospect, which is, despite the record that Senator Cruz has begun to build, the House of Representatives may actually go the other way and endorse and actually, you know, put booster fuel into this whole program of countering violent extremism, even if they call it something else. And I believe they will further compound the danger we're facing.
All right. So do not fund the CVE, Countering Violent Extremism Program, until you've had hearings. We need hearings on fighting jihad, hearings on fighting jihad. And by the way, securefreedom.org is Frank's website. You can find that memorandum to read, and also all the information that will just, you don't have to read it all, just read some of it. It will equip you to know how to talk about this and to share with other people. Frank Gaffney, the founder and president of Center for Security Policy. Frank, thank you so much for giving us so much of your time this morning. I always appreciate it. Thank you.
Happy to do so. Thank you, Sandy. God bless you.
All right, thanks. Same to you. All right, Sandy Rios, back in the harness. We'll be back here tomorrow with Ambassador John Bolton, so I hope you'll tune in.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.